Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Lower the risk. What is normal? What is the truth of Easter? Death is defeated. Sin is consumed by mercy. I love that video. Think of it in this way. Last year, at this time, was my very first sermon here. We had one sermon live and then went dark for a whole year. And we started working our way back and finding out about each other. And so one of the things that I felt important to share with you today is that while what started last year at Easter and what is culminating this Easter, every day should be Easter. Now, for those of you who don't know me yet, we have four children. Lance is the youngest, and he was kind of the baby of the family, if you will. Sheltered beyond measure, he was... according to the other girls, Lance was treated better than any of them ever were. And so I remember one time, you got to realize that when you have children and you pick them up for the very first time and you hold them, you make all of these promises to protect them, and you're going to shelter them, you're going to comfort them, you're going to love them. And I remember one time dropping Lance off at the airport. He was flying by himself for the very first time. And he was going to Grandma and Grandpa's in Arkansas to spend a week with them. I remember the emotional flood that just took over within me as I was dropping him off at the airport all by himself. And I don't remember how old he was, but that stuck with me for years, that emotional ride of dropping him off at the airport by himself. I think Easter brings about a lot of emotional baggage for us. Some of us have memories of coloring Easter eggs. How many of you colored Easter eggs as a child? I didn't. Usually we ate them. We never colored them, right? How many of you wore Easter dresses? I didn't. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Easter always brings to mind all of these feelings of springtime with tulips and daffodils and seasons changing and hopping bunnies and some of you might even recall going to church as a child on Easter and the power of those services. That, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow transplant those feelings of Easter into everyday life? See, the disciples were there at the very first Easter. The disciples in that moment of John chapter 20, they saw Easter differently. They saw life different that day and then every day since that moment. See, the resurrection day affected their lives every day from that day forward. They never seemed to be able to get over it. It stuck with them. Now, there are reasons why I think we struggle with Easter or with joy every day. How many of you would simply say that you're joyous every day? Oh? Okay. See, I think that's why. we all have that in common. We struggle with joy because of guilt. See, I think we struggle with guilty feelings for past actions. Let's face it, we've done some shameful things, and because of those things, it's difficult to have a positive self-image, right? Because of those sin in our past, it's difficult to simply maintain relationships and keep our spirits up. I also think that one of the frustrations for us is that this intrusion, I'll call it an outright assault, if you will, of drugs, entertainment, alcohol, sex, cell phones, unhealthy relationships in our society, and all of those things entangle us into that realm of guilt and failure. That's what our world tells us that we have to turn to. When we can't figure it out, they tell us one of those things will fix us. But today I want you to understand that it's time to learn that because Christ lives, all guilt is gone. Look at John 20, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bibles, you can open it. In his account of Easter, this very first Easter, John does something pretty interesting. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. You see, in his account of the very first Easter, John tells us of running to the tomb with Peter, but both John and Peter had done so much to feel guilty and feel shame for. Seeing the empty tomb, they both suspected that Jesus was alive, but yet in verse 9, what does it say? That they still didn't understand, from Scripture is the phrase, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. See, that phrase, from Scripture, is a little bit different. It's a key to the whole text. They didn't understand, so they just went home defeated. Here they are. Jesus had spent all of this time with them, telling them that if they just believed and understood that one day he's going to go to the cross, he's going to bear a sinner's death, to bear all of the sin and the shame of a world upon his shoulders, be crucified, be laid in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected on the third day. But yet they just did not understand it. And so they went home, defeated. The same thing happens again in Scripture in Luke 24, where the disciples are on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus appears to them, and Jesus explained all of the Scriptures concerning himself. Again in verse 32, Jesus opened the Scriptures to them. Jesus needed the disciples to understand that he had risen from the dead. Do you understand this concept? It's very difficult to understand it and comprehend the totality of what Jesus did in this moment. But here's what I can tell you, is that it happened. It's done for you. So, what do we do with this? Here's what we do with this. I think we need to get in shape. I think we need to get in shape. How many of you actually started a New Year's resolution you're going to get in shape this year? How's that going for you? Fairly good. Okay, for some of you, not so good for others. I joined the gym over here, and I think I've been, what, four times? Five? Maybe. She's not even looking at me. It's okay. She's not even addressing it, so she knows better. So, because the truth hurts. But he says, don't look for the living amongst the dead, as what it said on the screen at the end of that video. You see, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 12, the two ladies enter the tomb. The angel speaks to them. And he says, don't look for the living amongst the dead. Don't seek God, understanding, forgiveness, or anything else from the world. Seek God, and you will find him faithful. So again, what do we do with this? I think it's time for us to get in shape. At the beginning of that text, it talks about Peter and the disciple running to the tomb, and Peter gets outrun by the other disciple. It's clear that there's struggles there. Live your life in the light of what Jesus has done for you. That one day that you will have a resurrected body, that one day that you recognize that he did this for you, that one day that you recognize that your life matters, that your life means something more than just a fancy suit, a fancy casket in a shallow grave. One of these days, you're going to live your life in the warmth of the love of Christ and his grace. That's what we seek. If you're waiting at the end of your life to find favor and fancy with God, you're missing out. The reality is this, that Jesus, as he's crucified, he's nailed to a cross in the middle of two other sinners. Two sinners and Jesus in the middle. One sinner replied to Jesus that why he would be crucified and why he was going through this, and truly that he was the Son of God, and that he asked to go with Jesus and be with him. And yet the other simply said nothing and died a sinner's death, not recognizing the very Savior that was standing right next to him. See, what that tells me is the tale of two different stories. You have the one story where a person recognizes that beyond anything that they can obtain for themselves in life, beyond all financial matters, beyond all self-help psychology stuff, beyond anything that this world media tells you, that you're clinging to the very hope and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. That is the story of Jesus. Or you can choose the other side of that cross that says, I'm going to go it my own way. I'm going to try and solve my life. You might even be saying, you know what? Jesus can't handle all of the mess of my life right now. There's no way that we could do this. I'm going to get my life right before I come to Jesus. And that is completely backwards from what Jesus is telling us. He's asking us just to simply lay down at the foot of the cross all of the things that we hold and call baggage. You know, I watched a video, One Time Blind, as a great group. And if you like videos and reenactments, I encourage you to look them up on the internet. One Time Blind, and they did this skit. And it was called Baggage, I believe it was. And so it was about a man who had this bag on his shoulders, and it was so heavy, and he was walking and carrying this baggage with him over and over and over again. He would never let it go. He would hold on to this baggage every day, all day. And finally, someone came to him and said, why are you holding on to this baggage? And he's like, I don't have anywhere to go with it. I don't have anyone to give it to. And Jesus says, give it to me, and I'll take it from you. And the guy says, no, I'm pretty comfortable with this stuff. He says, I got this. I can do this all on my own. I don't need anything else. I got this. And he walks away, and he comes back, and he's still carrying that same burden That same struggle. He's carrying it on his shoulders. This time, it's heavier, and you can see the weight of it just burdening him and weighing him down to the point where he can barely walk anymore. He's almost shuffling his feet because it's so heavy. Jesus, again, says, let me have that burden from you. Let me take that, and I'll carry it. The guy says, Jesus, I understand what you're saying, but look, this is mine. I feel comfortable with this. I'm good. I got this. I'll get some rest. I'll regain some energy, and I'll be fine. Next go around, the guy is still doing the same thing, but this time he's not moving. He can't move. Can't move his feet. He's just standing there with this bag on his shoulders. There's nothing he can do to get rid of this burden or this weight. Jesus approaches him and Jesus says, just give it to me. Let me have it. This guy says, all right, Jesus. I'll give this to you. And you can tell the trepidation and the fear in this gentleman just giving this bag to Jesus. And he takes it off his shoulders and you can see him looking at it and feeling all of this burden go away, and he gives it to Jesus, and Jesus takes that baggage from him, and he's holding on to it, and Jesus says, now how do you feel? The guy says, not so good. Not so good. He's like, I miss that weight. And as he's walking away, you can see him looking back at that baggage, and eventually he goes and he picks it back up again. After Jesus had already taken it away from him, and he picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders, and the same thing happens over and over again until the point where he can't carry it anymore, and he gives it to Jesus again. At what point are we willing to let go of the burden that we carry every day? At what point are we willing to stand and simply say that I'm choosing forgiveness in Jesus? I'm going to lay this burden down. I'm not going to carry that sin, that shame, that guilt, whatever it is, I'm going to let it go. And I'm never going to pick it up again. I'm going to let Jesus Christ take it from me. Because that's what he wants to do. That's why Jesus died on the cross, that you might have life everlasting, full of joy, full of hope, full of mercy, full of grace. That's why we're here today. That's why we celebrate Easter, simply remembering the resurrected Jesus Christ that takes the burden and the sin away from his people. That's what I choose to focus on every day. And that's why Easter should be every day. Father God, thank you so much that you have chosen to take this burden and this guilt and this shame away. And that today we live in the love of your warmth and your grace. That today we have life everlasting. But Father, we would be so far off the mark today if we didn't recognize that we have sin still in our lives, that we have burdens and struggles of life. And today, Father, by your Spirit, we ask that you would remove those from us today, that you would strengthen us and renew that spirit within us that says that we are a child of God, that recognizes Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection today, that clings to that hope, that grace, and that mercy that only Jesus Christ can give. We lay those burdens down, never to pick them up again. And Father, for those that are here today that may just need to rededicate their lives, they may have already given their lives to you, Father, that they've surrendered in baptism, they understand what it means to serve you. But Father, today we know that we live in a fallen world, a sick, sin-depraved world. And that bleeds into us and on us. Father, we pray that you would re-strengthen us, transform us into what you would have us to become. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that today the tomb is empty. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.